Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We talked recently about Missouri Amendment 2, an amendment to the Missouri Constitution that would expand upon the existing clause of the Constitution with regard to more specifics about where religious freedom could be freely exercised. Many people saw it as not necessary and kind of repetitive, redundant for the not only the Missouri Constitution, but the U.S. Constitution as well. How was the media coverage of Missouri Amendment 2? Joining us to talk about that and several other stories, George Congaries, formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back.
Hello.
You say you were somewhat disappointed with the Religion News Service treatment of Missouri's public prayer amendment. Why so?
Yes. The way the author of the RNS story framed it, it was a sort of when did you stop beating your wife article, and that the authors decided that the amendment was a bad thing, and its passage was treated with a little bit of disdain, sort of, 83% of the electorate voted for it, but they didn't need to because, of course, they're not smart enough to realize that they don't need such a thing. It was really dismissive of the popular will and of the concerns of the people who brought this forward. It was more of an editorial than a news piece.
So, be specific. Where did the editorial voice sound most clear in this RNS piece?
Well, when a writer structures an article, he basically has little blocks that he lays down as to how an article is to be outlined. And one of the things is balance. And in other words, you need really to present both sides of an issue if there are both sides. And in this article, for example, there were three quotes sort of man-in-the-street quotes, all of people from Columbia, Missouri, which is probably one of the more liberal places in Missouri because it's where the State University is. And then there was all three people who were quoted basically were saying why this was a bad idea and it shouldn't have passed. And then they closed with a woman in her late 80s who's saying, I think it's a good idea. So basically, if you want to count the number of quotes and count the amount of time given to each side, you had a 3-to-1 ratio in favor of rejecting it, even though 83% of the people passed it. And that's how you frame a story, is by, you know, giving different voices a chance to speak out. And if you overbalance on one side, you're displaying your prejudices.
Okay, let's talk about another story here that is just bizarre. At least it sounds bizarre to me. First, there is a bizarre set of murders involving a Belgian woman and her husband. And then you say recently it has been reported that she has been paroled to a convent. What did you make of the story?
Well, the story you're talking about is the Michelle Martin case from Belgium. In the 1980s, there was a horrific series of child murders in Belgium committed by a man named Dutroux, and his wife was Michelle Martin. And she helped cover up his crimes, and in fact, while he was in prison, being on different charges, she let two of his prisoners, he had walled them up in a dungeon underneath their house, two 8-year-old girls, she let them starve to death. I mean, just this was a horrific series of crimes, and it nearly brought down the Belgian government because the police investigation was so incompetent. And it's it's akin, if you will, to something as notorious as the Charles Manson murders were in the United States at that time. Just something that every Belgian citizen knew about. Well, Michelle Martin was sentenced to the maximum term you could get under Belgian law for murder and conspiracy, and that was 30 years. Well, she's just been paroled after 16 years in prison on the condition she enter a convent of the Poor Clare Sisters, a Roman Catholic order. And this has caused all sorts of outrage on several fronts. Some people are outraged that such a person would ever be let out of jail. Other people are just incredulous that a Catholic convent would be used as part of the penal system. That, you know, you get out of jail free card if you sign up to go to a convent. So this is causing a great deal of controversy and talk in Belgium right now.
Now, you've talked about this before. We have in several conversations. There is in Europe a more strongly advocacy-style journalism, and you say that this story shows both the strengths and the weaknesses of that kind of journalism. What do you mean?
Yes, in Europe, newspapers do not hide behind the myth of being impartial. In the United States, we have advocacy journalism, but papers like the New York Times or Fox News, they like to say they're fair and balanced, when the New York Times is very left-wing and Fox is conservative, or MSNBC is as liberal as Fox is conservative. But nobody likes to say that out loud. In Europe, on the other hand, the papers basically wear their politics on their sleeve. And in Belgium, for instance, you have Catholic newspapers, in other words, newspapers that take a fairly conservative moral and social tone. You have secular newspapers. You have communist newspapers. You have liberal newspapers. You have trade union newspapers. You have different voices all discussing the same topic. And the good thing about the European press is, taken as a whole, you get five or six voices on the same set of facts that give you a well-rounded view of what's going on. Whereas in the United States, if you have only one paper in your town, that's the only voice you're going to hear.
Turning to another story that is almost hard to believe in how strange it is. I guess it isn't that hard to believe, given what happens. But this one comes from Australia, from The Age, which you say is one of Australia's great national newspapers. The headline, "Dissidents Preach a New Breed of Catholicism." And, of course, the kind of the takeaway that no one could forget from this story is a dog being allowed to receive Holy Communion.
Yeah, The Age is the newspaper from Melbourne. It's one of the major national newspapers in Australia. And its religion section had an article about a group called Inclusive Catholics. And this was a group led by a Roman Catholic priest whose license as a Catholic priest has been suspended, but he's still a priest. And he set up a group of people, and they worship, and they are having outreach to gays and women and this, that, and the other thing, and are mouthing all the sort of liberal causes. Well, a reporter from this newspaper went by to see one of their Eucharists on a Sunday, and while he was there, a fellow had his dog with him, and he gave the dog part of the consecrated bread, the host. Now, from a Catholic perspective, if the real presence teaches that that bread is the real body of Jesus Christ, its outward accident or appearance is that of bread, but spiritually and materially, it's Jesus' body. And giving it to a dog is a big no-no. And the whole article was about how with it these people are and how sort of exciting and dynamic and this is the future. And yet everybody seems to be in the photos in their 60s, 70s, and the people they interview are in their 80s. And it's just sort of the lunacy, if you will, of the sort of hyper-liberal Catholic left in Australia. And the joke about the article was you couldn't tell if the reporter was making fun of them by allowing them to sort of say the silly things without contradiction, or he really agreed with what they were saying and thought it was wonderful, because there was no other voice to say, man, this is not how you should act in church.
So what do you think it was? Was it satire? Was it that kind of tongue-in-cheek journalism?
I don't know. If I knew the particular, I've met the reporter in question, and I've read his work for years, but I don't know him personally to tell. It was either that good or that bad. Let me put it that way, because it really was the sort of thing that if you had any sort of spiritual sense or any sort of searching for the divine or the spiritual, and you read an article about these people, you would think these are lunatics. So either he's a lunatic thinking it's great, or he's allowing them to impeach themselves. I can't decide.
Does it say something, with only about a minute here, George, does it say something about religion journalism in general that sometimes the most bizarre gets the coverage and more than it actually deserves given its proportion to the population? About a minute.
Oh, Oh, absolutely. This is a man bites dog story. In other words, it's no big deal if a dog bites a man, but if a man bites a dog, that makes the newspapers because it's so unusual. Here we have a case of sort of hip Catholics deciding to really take it to the farthest edge of the theological and sacramental envelope and showing where they stand on these major issues. And this only represents about a half dozen people, maybe 2-3 dozen people. And how many millions of Catholics are there in Australia who would think this is abhorrent?
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. Yesterday, we were dealing with the newly announced GOP vice presidential nominee, Paul Ryan. The big question is, not only because he's Catholic, but because the Catholic vote matters that much, what does this mean for the Catholic vote in the upcoming presidential election, that Mitt Romney has chosen a Catholic, Paul Ryan, to be his vice presidential nominee? Stay tuned.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly seek us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.